That was What I Say from Razor. You're listening to The Metal Shop, and we have somebody really special on. Chris Catero from Razor is right here right now. Chris, how you doing?
I feel special that I'm special.
Oh, man. You know what? It's not every day that you meet people in the business that you just really, really like. And we've been friends for a while now. You're such a good guy, and I appreciate you coming on the show like this.
No problem, man. Thanks for the kind words, dude. Anything for you guys down there with the Metal Shop, man. Happy to come on and talk with you guys and, you know, give you little sneak previews of songs and things like that that I probably shouldn't be doing, but who cares? I'm going to do it for you.
Well, and that's the thing. We talked the other day and going over some of what was going on with Razor, and you were telling me you were in the studio and you played me over the phone some of the new tracks, which are just totally kick-ass, by the way.
And, thank you.
And then today, lo and behold, we've got a new tune that we're going to spin.
Yeah, it's probably going to, you know, luckily, seeing as at this point we are our own label, I guess the only guy who can, like, yell at me is me, and the A&R guy, Chris Catero, isn't yelling, so we're good.
That's like when one of those cops wrecked their cop cars, you know, and you ask them, well, did you write yourself a ticket? And they're like, no, I let myself off with a stern warning.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, hey. We're making the rules, I can break them too, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Chris, tell us, I mean, you guys have been doing a lot of stuff here lately. I mean, you're in the studio, lots of big things are going on for Razor right now. I mean, tell us a little bit about it, if you don't mind.
Sure, no problem. Well, first and foremost, you know, I guess really where it started was is after, you know, our last album cycle ended, the Dark Devotion album cycle ended, we kind of decided we were going to really take our time in writing the next record. And part of that was there was a little bit of we had a kind of a change of direction of what we wanted to do, and the fact that we were going to completely write songs that were very organic and just whatever the hell it is we wanted. Versus, you know, having to write something that, you know, well, maybe this is going to get radio play, or maybe this is going to do. The thing about it is we kind of all had to come to Jesus moment, shall we say, where we all like, look, most of the stuff that we do is pretty radio friendly. Let's just write whatever the hell we like. And to be honest with you, the catalyst kind of was is I was really grooving on the Black Country Communion DVD and albums. And I don't know if I know it's not metal, quote unquote, but I mean, you got Glenn Hughes, the voice of rock, singing in that, with Jason Bonham on drums and Derek Sherinian on keys and Joe Bonamassa on guitar. I mean, it's a really kick ass rock record.
Well, and I was on tambourine, don't forget that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I heard that twinkling in there.
that was me in the bathroom. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Actually grooving on that DVD, I'm like, you know how great this is to just listen to these four dudes who can just play their asses off and sing their asses off, just write stuff that they like and not worry about things. And it was kind of an anti, you know, like my anti statement, I guess, in my own way, to kind of how I was and have been feeling about the state of a lot of rock radio. There's a lot of vanilla stuff out there right now that, you know, and I'm not going to name any names of bands or anything, but I've heard so much stuff that all sounds alike on the radio that you just kind of, at some point, you tune out, you're like uninspired by it, and you start going back and listening to the records from 20 years ago.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you and I have talked about this before. We're sent a lot of new music here at the Metal Shop from industry guys and whatnot. They send it over for us to check out and hopefully play. And, you know, a lot of it now, man, we're having to pass on because some of these independent bands that are out there are just killing it. You know, they're doing just what you guys are doing and going in their own direction, and they're setting new trends, you know, and that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me that's really the future. If rock music is to, you know, sustain itself and further itself in the future as we're going along, you know, we gotta get past the cheese whiz and get back to the to the nuts and bolts of what's really good out there. And you know what that is? That's bands just playing what they want to play, taking their own chances, and having people like you guys, who, God bless y'all, actually will lend an ear to what's going on and play things that you feel you really like versus what you should play.
Well, I tell you what, man, if we play crap, we hear about it, because we have some of the coolest listeners and fans of any show on the planet, I think, because we screw up, man, and they're telling us, you know, I mean, they tell us flat out, you guys suck, don't ever play that again. You know, so we've got to be, you know, we got to be careful at what we do. And that's why, I just love you guys. And, you know, you've got a lot of new things going on in the studio. I don't know if you can actually talk about all the personnel and everything that's involved right now, but I'm going to throw it at you and let's see if you want to.
Okay. Well, you know, I can say one of the things that, there's been a couple of things that have been a catalyst in what we've been doing. And the first one actually was, we ended up getting a new guitar player named Jordan Ziff. He's a young guy, 21-year-old guitar player, and this kid is incredible. And it's really kind of opened some things up. I don't know if your listeners know this, they may know me from Razor, but I've also in the past been the touring bass player for Marty Friedman. And Marty and I have known each other for years, and I played with him on and off for years. And this is the first guy, you know, and let me also explain, I've also, you know, done the artist relations at Crank Amps for several years. So I've heard more guitar than I probably ever wanted to hear from endorse me, sponsor me, that kind of thing.
Right.
And you know, and you kind of, you listen and you hear what's going on. But Jordan is actually a guy who I can legitimately compare in the studio to playing with Marty, and that's, you know,
that's big shoes.
I'm kind of a jaded bastard here. Okay, I'm pretty particular, and you know, I'm not one to heap that kind of praise on somebody who's undeserving. But he's really got this thing going on. So my estimation of this is that there's like four great things that you need to have a great rock band. You need a great rhythm section that keeps it together. You need great songs that everybody can love, and you need a great singer and a great guitar player to like really deliver the goods and make those things stick out.
Well,
and to me, we've had all the elements that are there, and with Jordan kind of coming on now as a really kind of an old school guitar hero, not like a YouTube kind of I learned by painting by numbers kind of thing, but a guy who actually has phrasing, it really has added depth and dimension into the band. So that allowed us to really just expand our writing, to be honest with you. The other part of the thing that we've done with it is we've decided to take some time. We're not going to rush ourselves to get, you know, sometimes bands feel pressured to got to follow something up. You know, I kind of think that there's a healthy thing that it used to happen, it doesn't happen anymore, that bands need to do. If you notice, bands come out and, man, they're, before their album is even finished, they're already trying to like throw another album at you.
Sure.
Or they're trying to, you know, it's like a steady barrage, because I think everybody's afraid of falling off of the radar. But I actually believe that when you're in a rock band, you need to fall off the radar for a little bit. You need to go away, let people kind of, you know, want you again, so to speak.
Kind of like the old girlfriend.
Exactly, you yeah. know.
Not the psycho.
When you start thinking about him, like, damn, she was awesome. Well, she really, you know, I don't know if she really was, but hey, what's for nostalgia's sake, we'll say she was. But, you know, so what we kind of did is we just said, okay, we're just going to take our time. And it's really proven to be a good thing, because we've had the same production team of myself and Chuck Alcazian working on it, but we've got a little extra sauce that's been thrown in now, which, you know, at this point, it's kind of a cool thing and a fun thing, is that Alan Niven, who is the, if you guys, you know, don't know the name, you actually know the man through his work. He was Guns N' Roses manager in the heyday and Great White's manager as well as producer for all of their heyday. And Alan and I are friends, and we've been doing a little bit of work with him too. And it's, you know, the whole project just keeps evolving and revolving, and you know, we're just taking our time. And I think there's some really good stuff that's going to come out of this. And it's when it finally does come out, probably in the next 2 to 3 months, somewhere in there, it'll be well worthwhile. You know.
Well, you know what I want to play a little smidget of what they have to look forward to. I mean, and I know we shouldn't do this, but and I can't tell you how much I thank you for debuting this on the Metal Shop so early and everything, because this is what it's about right here, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we're all mavericks of our profession, right? Let's just throw caution to the wind and play something, man.
Guys, you know what? This is brand new. You heard it here first on the Metal Shop.